to us tonight.
Thank you, Pastor Williford, and what a pleasure it is to be with you wonderful people of God on this Sunday evening. And I have indeed felt the presence of the Lord as you have lifted up Jesus tonight in worship. I give honor to Brother and Sister Williford, Pastor, wife, Brother Reaver, Sister Reaver. We appreciate you so very much. And especially tonight, I think my wife and I are very honored that Sister Chambers is here with us. When I served as International Youth President, 69 through 71, Brother Chambers was my superintendent. And he was a great leader, loved him so much. He was a man that his word was, he stood by his word. And he was a great preacher. He understood the policies of our organization like no one else. And I think he wrote most of that manual anyway. But great man, Sister Chambers, we love you. You were always an example. My wife and I have talked quite a few times about your great Pentecostal example. And church, it's just an honor to be with you tonight. I think it was 1958 that I preached at Grabois. Harry Branding was pastor. And I was telling Brother Williford tonight before service. Now, some of you know Brother Branding much better than I knew him. But I loved him. And he took a young man under his wing. But I remember preaching that night. I had been in several services. I also, when I was serving in the youth division, Brother Reber, I preached for Brother Black on a number of occasions on Sunday. But I will never forget, you know, that generation of Harry Branding, God made one mold. And he only produced one. There was no replicates. There may have been some that attempted, but there was no replicates. Harry Branding was unique. I remember that night after the service, he had prayer meetings. There was a prayer meeting for the men and a prayer meeting for the women. So I went with the men. And we prayed probably 15, 20 minutes. We were in praying. And the door opened. And in walked Brother Branding. He didn't say, "Hello, glad to see you, brethren, here in prayer." He walked through the door talking in tongues. And when he got through talking in tongues, he interpreted it. And when he finished with the interpretation, he walked out as fast as he walked in. I thought, for a young man, I said, never in my life did I see anything like that before. But that was Brother Harry Branding. And some of you are nodding your head and you understand. So, church, you have an incredible heritage. Just awesome. And let me say this. You're poised for tremendous revival and tremendous growth. Yes, it's true. I'm an apostolic preacher. I make no apologies for it. I believe in the old-time stuff. I believe that he is the same yesterday. I believe Pentecost is the same yesterday. I believe the move of the Holy Ghost, the anointing, the unction, the worship, preaching, teaching, living, is just the same today as it was in the beginning in the book of Acts. Can you say amen? If you have your Bibles this evening, and again, I want to say how happy my wife and I are to be with you. We have loved Brother and Sister Williford. He's just, to me, a unique man, but a great Christian. I've just talked with him, walked with him. When you're around the Williford, you're around people that pray. They live it. There's no errors. That's just the way it is. That's their life. You couldn't have a better example for a pastor than to have that. And I know you appreciate it. Amen. I know you love them. It is the month of December, believe it or not. Here we are already. I mean, we're just a few days away, folks, from the Christmas day itself. And it's hard to believe it because it seems like we just celebrated Christmas. And here we are again. So since it's Christmas time, I'm going to preach to you from the story of Christmas tonight. How often most of us that have celebrated Christmas in the right way with our families, we go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and we would read the Christmas story, the coming of the Christ child, the heralding of the Christ child, the conversation between the angel and between the little virgin, the peasant girl, who became the mother of our Savior. If you wish to follow, I'm in chapter 1 and verse 27, and I'm going to read a few verses here. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, the angel came in unto her, said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son. And shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I will just make conversation here for the next few verses. The angel referred to Elizabeth, Zachariah, her husband, and that Elizabeth was now expecting an elderly woman, expecting a child. And the next thing we know, Mary, the little girl, the peasant, the virgin, is knocking on the door of her cousin's home. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. I'm preaching to someone tonight. Your soul needs to be magnifying the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength in his right arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. And on it goes. This, my friend, is the Christmas story. But what I am going to bring to you from this passage of Scripture, as Mary was called upon, a humble virgin, to bring to the world Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of mankind. She was called upon to perform a mission that would be misunderstood by millions. She would be called by some an illegitimate, bringing forth an illegitimate child. It would be called a farce by some. But she accepted the mission, and she said, let it be so. The Lord is calling on His church to bring to this generation and this world not a counterfeit religion, but a Holy Ghost-inspired religion. Bring forth Jesus. Maybe I could use the word tonight with you. Let us bring forth an apostolic ministry to this generation. And nothing short of that is going to transform the lives of men and women in our day. Would you lay your Bible down? Would you put your hands together and raise your voice like a trumpet? And let's give praise to Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we worship You. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, before you're seated, I want to tell you something. He sends down the rain according to the vapor thereof. You send up a vapor, you create an atmosphere where God can move. See, I truly believe that He could heal every sick body in this room tonight. No matter how severe, whether it be terminal, whatever the prognostication is by the physician, my God has no limitation. He is on the throne. But how we receive and what we receive is going to come according to an atmosphere that we create in this place tonight. That's why praise from the very outset should be ascending to the throne of God, because you are creating an atmosphere where God can work and that the Holy Spirit can fall. That's it. It works. Yes, it does, in Jesus' name. And don't be timid. Don't be ashamed. Don't hesitate. Give it all unreservedly to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. We must give the world more than ritual, more than formality, more than mere dogma and religion. We must give them something that transforms the very soul. As your pastor spoke of the two young ladies that were here this morning from Concordia, from the Lutheran headquarters here in this city of St. Louis, I can tell you that the religious world is starving for reality. I've had them say to me, surely there must be something more. A little girl from the University of Pacific came in one Sunday morning to our services. She sat in the back. University of Pacific is a Methodist college. And she was there in the service, and the singing and the worship was fairly normal to us. But I watched her face as it glowed like a child touching a new toy. And we sang, we worshiped, we preached. And when we finished preaching, different ones begin to fill the altar. Most of them standing, worshiping, sending up the aroma of praise. And she made her way and stood somewhere in the back amongst the people that had gathered. And she, the tears began to streak her face. And God gloriously filled her with the Holy Ghost. After service, someone was talking to her. And she said, I knew that there had to be more to religion than what I had. And when I heard the singing, felt the praise and the worship that was going up, and the preaching, she said, this is what I want. And now I've received that wonderful Holy Ghost. Listen, the world is saying there's got to be something more than just mere ritualism and formality and Pentecostals. We have it. We cannot afford to hide it. We cannot put a bushel over it. We need to become bold as the church in the book of Acts. They were very bold about it. It said, when we witnessed their boldness, we knew that they had been with Jesus. And there's something about a world that is hurting and void of the great glory and presence and the reality of Pentecost out there, that when they meet a Pentecostal that is full of the Holy Ghost, I'm not just speaking about a Pentecostal in name. I'm talking about one that is not only in name, but in experience. And when they meet that one that is filled with the Holy Ghost, they feel something emanating out of the soul. One that has the Holy Ghost. So, as I speak to you this evening, there are several thoughts. Here, first I want to call your attention to these thoughts from the angel was addressed to Mary. And Mary is spoken of because Mary's job in all of this and responsibility, her role, was that she was going to bring forth Jesus. She had been chosen as a vessel. A vessel. She did not comprehend, neither did she understand. It was something that baffled her. But in the final analysis, she said, I am willing, I am thy handmaiden. And if God so chooses me, I am that vessel, and I am willing. So the first statement was, thou art highly favored. I will stop right there and tell you tonight, there's no use of anybody in this building feeling sorry for yourself. You are blessed and you are favored of God. And you ought to lift your hand right now and say, I am highly favored because I'm one of them, and I've been chosen to be one of those that's going to present Jesus and Pentecost to this generation. So thou art highly favored. I mean, it could have been anybody but you. Your neighbor. Someone else in your family. But God chose you. And oft times we are not grateful over the fact that God has reached down. And sometimes it would appear reached past many to find you and I. But He found us when we were lost and in the degradation of sin. And He lifted us up and He brought us out of the quagmire. And He filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost and He transformed us. Thou art highly favored. Secondly, the Lord is with thee. Am I preaching to someone tonight that you need to be reminded that the Lord is with you? He's with you in the morning. He's with you when you go to work tomorrow. He's with you when you're with your banker. He's with you when you're with your attorney. He's with you when you're in the hospital. He's with you when you're in the courtroom. He is with you when you feel all alone. He is with you when the dark clouds are hovering over you. The Lord is with thee. Church, I'm telling you, we need to be more worshipful about the fact that God is with us and that we are so blessed. So if you feel like He's with you and you know that He's been with you, wave your hand to me tonight and say, the Lord is with me. Next, the angel said, blessed art thou amongst women. We're blessed. I see churches all over our cities. Most of them tonight that you would drive by in St. Louis, they're dark. The doors are padlocked. They're shut. They had their service this morning. It was confined to a brief so many minutes or an hour. And folks went in many cases, carrying a heavy load, a burden, bowed down with the pressures of life. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very stressed society that we live in. It's a world that is plagued with heartache and grief. This is the world that we live in. You've got to have more than religion. You must have more than a creed, something more than dogma, something more than a hand-me-down. You've got to have an experience that's burning within your soul, because you may need to go to God sometime tonight at midnight or sometime in the morning, and you need more than just I'll lay me down to sleep prayer. You need a kind of prayer that penetrates the universe and reaches to the very heart of God. We are blessed. We are highly favored. We are blessed among women. The next point, in the 29th verse, it said, when she saw him, she was troubled at his salutations, and cast down in her mind. We are often troubled about the things we cannot control. What appears to us to be the supernatural and the spiritual, it sometimes troubles us because in our human nature, we want to get a grip on everything. We want a grip on it theologically. We want a grip on it emotionally. We want a grip on it from the standpoint of our emotions. If we can't get a grip on it, we are troubled about it. But if you're going to be one of these Pentecostals and you're going to be full of the Spirit, you're going to understand that the wind bloweth where it listeth. You're going to understand that God can make an intrusion into a service at any moment that He wants to make an intrusion into a service. Now, I didn't feel this tonight, but often in our service, I pastored long enough to understand this, Brother Williford, but often in our services, we are so geared to structure. And I believe that everything should be done decently in order, but our structure can outrule God. And the Holy Ghost may want to move in that service and touch someone in that service. And if it's a 1-2-3 operation with us, there's no room for the intrusion of the Holy Ghost. But if we're going to be an apostolic church, we have to open up our lives and make room for Jesus to walk into that service. So she was troubled at the visitation of an angel. And by the way, I want to say to you tonight that I believe in angels. And if the scales could be removed from our eyes in this service, there are angels present here tonight. I believe also, like you do, that there is room for the operation of the Spirit in our services. We're still a movement that believes in divine healing. Is there a witness to that tonight? Anybody here? We believe in divine healing. That it's not fatal. Men make it fatal. But God has the power to intervene and to heal. While I'm preaching to you in this service tonight, I want to tell you that the Holy Ghost can move in this meeting. And while we're in this service in the next 30 minutes, God could heal you of a terminal disease. A tumor could be removed. A blood disease could be cured. That's the kind of God that I'm serving tonight. You may be bound by drugs or alcohol, but before we walk out of this service tonight, the Holy Ghost could set you free. Yes, it can. Come on, church. You're creating an atmosphere for God to move in this service tonight. A Holy Ghost atmosphere. I'm talking about presenting the Holy Ghost, an apostolic move to this generation. We are troubled in our own minds, and we must make sure that our flesh, our pride, our intellect, our way, our preconceived notions do not barricade the presence of God. Oh, for a people that hunger and yearn for an apostolic move. The Bible said He'll give us the desire of our hearts. Am I preaching to anyone right now that you hunger for an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost and you're saying, that's what I want. That's what I desire. I want to see it in my family. I want to see it among our children. We've got lost loved ones, friend. The devil may tell you that once they're lost and they're on drugs, they're always on drugs. Once they're lost in alcohol, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. I'll tell you now, the devil is a liar. 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 I'm preaching about a God that can set you free. A God that can deliver you. I'm preaching about an apostolic message. We are not presenting mere ritual and mere religion. We're presenting a transforming message that can save from sin. She was troubled. The angel perceived her troubled spirit, and he said, "Fear not." I'm telling some of you tonight, fear not. Fear not. We are often more concerned about who we're sitting next to. About Pentecostal, again, protocol. To the point that we want to act just so-so. But when you really get a touch of what I'm talking about, all that veneer and sophistication, premise, all of that is destroyed. And God can breathe on you. Why do we often resist the move of God? He wants to do great and mighty things amongst His people. Oh, yes, He does. Fear not. Thou hast found favor with God. Now hear this. Behold, thou shalt conceive. Just allow me to park here for a few moments. Conception is what it's all about. It's what you really think is what you're going to get. If your mind and my mind, when I point at you and I say yours, I'm talking about every one of us in this room. If our minds are filled with unbelief, how can we expect a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost? You've got to fight with your mind. If you want a healing, you're going to fight with everything there is within you. Because everything you read, every diagnosis, most people you talk to, they give you the fatalistic view. But if you can get your mind in the Word of God, faith, and listen to the preacher, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It comes by reading and reading the Word of God. You have to purge your mind and cleanse it of all unbelief. And you have to speak faith. You cannot, I'm just dwelling here for a moment, but you cannot talk negative and expect miracles to happen. You cannot speak negative all day and expect to come to church and then the glory of God come down. Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to start talking about Jesus, because what you speak is what you're going to get. And if it's all about the world and how drastic the world is, how sinful the world is, and you get involved and enmeshed into this world, you will not have a glorious experience when you come to the house of God. But you've got to wake up in the morning, hallelujah, and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. And that day you have to meditate on the things of God, and you have to purge your mind from all the things of this world and conceive the right kind of thoughts. If you'll allow me, I want you to preach with me for a little bit. We're just going to be children here tonight. I mean, when I was a young fella, preaching, starting, I had a Sunday school class. It was good. I loved to teach those boys. Well, tonight we're just going to be children. So all of you kids here tonight, if you're not too old to be a kid, would you lift your hand and kind of shake it around like this? And if you're too old to be a kid, do it anyway, because it won't hurt you. I promise you what I'm going to say. And the reason I want you to keep your hand up there is because you're going to preach with me in the next few moments. And I'm going to tell you the Apostle Paul had something to say about conception. And what I'm going to give you tonight is very important to the miracle that you're expecting this week. And for the mighty move of God that's going to sweep in this church. But you're just going to have to get that hand up and hold it there. And Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. And in the second book of Corinthians. And chapter 10. And verse 3. And so when I speak it, then you repeat it after me. But you got to shake your hand while you're doing it, because that's what I'm going to do. I can hardly talk without shaking my hand, Pastor. My whole body gets to shaking sometimes. So get your hand up there. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. The weapons. Oh, you can't mumble it. You got to say it. The weapons of our warfare. Scream it. Our warfare. Are not carnal. Are not carnal, are not carnal, but mighty, through God, to the pulling down. Some of you maybe need to pull it down tonight. To the pulling down. Scream it out. To the pulling down of strongholds. Do you have a stronghold in your life that you need to be pulled down? I want you to know your weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. You've got to conceive it in your mind. You have to have a conception if you're going to have a miracle. And you've got to see that God has all power in heaven and in earth. Conception. If I can conceive it in my mind, I can get a hold of it. What you conceive is what you get. And behold, thou shalt conceive. When there's a conception, there will be a birth. But it's what you bring forth. And that's important that we think the right thing. Speak the right things. Weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God till the pulling down of the strongholds. Hands back up, kids. Come on. Some of you are looking younger already. Oh, yeah. It's amazing what a little action will do for us. Praise God. They're not carnal. Hallelujah. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Ah, you got a stronghold in your family. You've got something you can't seem to break. You have something that's just haunting you, it's daunting you, it's disturbing you, it's ever-present in your home, it's ever-present in your mind. I'm giving you something tonight from the Word of God. If you can conceive it in your heart, you can walk out of this service with a Holy Ghost miracle in your life. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. So, strongholds are brought down. Now your hands back up. Casting down. Folks, you cannot mumble and get this. Casting down. What? Imagination. Say it again. One more time. That's the image that Satan has put in your mind. That image of death, disease, sickness, that image, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it, of poverty. That image that sees as a parent here tonight, your prodigal daughter, your prodigal son. Maybe on a bar stool. Maybe injecting narcotics into their vein. Maybe consuming alcohol. You see that. But you, if you want to change the performance, you must indeed change the image. Let it sink. What do you mean? See, the mind of Christ is a healthy mind. See health when the enemy wants you to see death. See salvation when the enemy wants to see your lost daughter, lost son, lost forever. Change your image. What is your image? See him walking through a church door. See them getting up and running down an aisle, falling at an altar. Change the image. Cast down the negative image and see the positive image. You want a revival in this church? You want a Holy Ghost revival? Start seeing it every time you pray. Not a vacant seat in the house. The altar's filled. The baptismal tank, the water's disturbed by those being baptized in Jesus' name. When you see it, it's when you get it. But you have to change the way you think and what you see. Conception is essential to the miraculous. Yes, we are. Come on, put your hands together. Worship God. Create the atmosphere for miracles tonight in this service. In spite of all the negativism there is in the world, we serve a powerful God. Come on, church. Worship Jesus. This is the Christmas story. This is the real Christmas story that I'm bringing to you tonight. This is the result of the birth of a Savior in Bethlehem. When Walmart and all the other stores do not want to give any credence to the Christmas story. When cities refuse to allow nativity scenes to be placed in government buildings. The church better be quick to lift up her voice. And say, Jesus is the reason for the season, and Jesus will change the world. This is all about Jesus. Church, you have to become bold. Conception? I remember in 1978, we went back to Stockton in 72. God sent a glorious revival. It was not without heartache. Sometimes folks would look at the church that we pastored, and they would say, oh, it must be wonderful, so many people coming to God. We had folks backslide like any other church. We had heartaches. We had troubles. We had feelings, emotional feelings amongst people in the church. But that was not our focus. Our focus was on revival. The altars filled up. We moved from the old Cherokee Road. God spoke to our heart and said, build a new church out in a different part of town, which was the north part of town. So we went. We built a church at that time in 1979, 78. That seemed enormous to a lot of folks. It was enormous to me. But I believe God had spoke to my heart, and it seated 2,000 people. And I remember when we moved from the old Cherokee Road Church, which seated about 650, maybe 700, you could get in there. And it looked good every Sunday because it was full. And we even went to 3 services on Sunday. And God blessed it. But when I moved, I remember when we moved to that new church that seated 2,000, balcony approximately 1,600, lower floor 1,300 plus. Then the choir loft and the platform, about 90. And so there it was. But when we moved into it, it looked a lot different than it did on old Cherokee Road. When it was wall-to-wall people, now there was more gaps in that lower floor than you could ever imagine. And I had to pray through every night I walked to that platform in order to keep the victory up there, seeing what needed to happen. But I remember after about 6-8 months of working through it, God was good to us, but it just psychologically, it just didn't look as good. I remember coming out of the prayer room on one Sunday night, and there was just something come up in my mind, and I said, God, I refuse to look at those gaps out there. I see this place full. So I walked to the platform, and I opened my Bible to preach, and when I read my text, I said, my message tonight, every word of it, is directed to everyone that's sitting in the balcony. If everybody's neck would have been an old rusty hinge, you'd have heard the most screeching you ever heard in your life, because they in unison, they all turned to see who was up there, and they couldn't see a soul. I didn't bother to look at them. I read my text, I preached my message, and for the 40 minutes that I preached, I pointed my finger, I preached to the folks in the balcony. And while I preached to the folks in the balcony, some of them up there got to weeping. They was responding a whole lot better than the folks on the lower floor. So, even while I preached, there were some miracles taking place up there and some healings taking place. There was a lot of tears, and there was some rejoicing, and there were some folks that were shouting, and they were standing while I was preaching, and they were really getting with it. They had an apostolic experience up there. Say, that's about the craziest thing I ever heard. Well, maybe it is. I wouldn't fault you for saying that, but I'll tell you what. 1 year later, God sent such a sweeping revival with prayer, fasting, seeking the face of God. I believe it was more like 2 years later that they began to come in. In fact, I remember in one Saturday night service where God filled 100 with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in that service. I remember another night when I don't know how many filled with the Holy Ghost, but we baptized 100 that night in Jesus' name. And it's a whole lot easier to pray 100 through to the Holy Ghost than it is to baptize in water 100. Because I think we were there till about 2 in the morning baptizing all those folks. But I can tell you this, in 2.5 years, that balcony was filled with men and women on Sunday worshiping God. What are you saying? I'm saying you've got to see it. You've got to get it in your mind. You have to refuse to look at the circumstances. You have to look at us all-saving, all-powerful, all-miracle-working God who has the power to go beyond what man can do. Conceive it. Get it in your heart. Defy the odds. And believe in Jesus. And the miracles begin to happen. Let's give Him some praise right now. Just put your hands together and lift up your voice and praise Him. Thou shalt conceive and bring forth Jesus. And just let me come back to that moment, bringing forth Jesus, bringing forth an apostolic ministry. That's what our world wants. And sorry to say, even in the United Pentecostal Church, there are congregations and ministers that are bringing more self than they are bringing forth Jesus. But God have mercy on us. It's not, and I enjoyed your music tonight tremendously, by the way. I know you have good preaching, and I know you have great music, and you have such a beautiful place, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But let me tell you something. He never called upon us to bring forth eloquence necessarily from the pulpit and great oratory and flashy charismatic personalities. He called upon us to bring forth an anointed ministry to the pulpit. The talent God has given us, I thank God, because there's nothing to compare with anointed talent. Nothing in the world. But He did not just call on us to bring forth great talent and exploit what we have to give to the world. But He said, I want you to bring an anointing. And I want you to bring an old-fashioned anointing that will change the world. So bring forth Jesus. He shall be great. He shall reign. And of His kingdom, there shall be no end. And, of course, we could spend a lot of time in each one of these, but I've got to move a little bit faster. Finally, when the angel had went through all of this discourse and discussion with Mary, Mary couldn't stand it any longer. And she said, how shall this be? Some of you are asking that question tonight. This preacher's been up here for 35 minutes, and he's been beating the pulpit and talking about what God can do. And some of you are saying, how shall it be? How can it happen this way? We've been here a long time. Listen, first I want you to know we're living in the windup. Jesus is fixing to come very soon. And He's going to do a quick work before He comes for those that will allow it. And this church right here can have your greatest revival ever till you cannot accommodate them. Hear what I'm saying? In one service, and you may have to have three or four services on Sunday. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of revival that I believe in. Come on, put your hands together and praise God. Yes! That's what God wants to do. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel responded, and this is the most profound statement of the whole message tonight. Hear me. The Holy Ghost. Everybody say, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. We cannot have church without the Holy Ghost. We cannot live for God without the Holy Ghost. We are not Pentecost without the Holy Ghost. We have to have the Holy Ghost. Several years ago, I sat on a committee in Washington, D.C. of charismatic and Pentecostal church leaders. They said, we want to have a centennial of Azusa Street. When Azusa Street is 100 years old, we want to commemorate it. We want to celebrate it. And so, in 2006, they planned it. They said, will you help us? I said, well, I'm going to present it to our general board, and if they tell me it's all right to help you, I'm going to come in with everything I got. The general board 100% said, Brother Haney, we want to be a part of that, and we want the United Pentecostal Church to go to Azusa Street in Los Angeles. I went in with everything I had. You may have read some about it in the Pentecostal Herald. We talked about it. We planned. There were some even in our own movement that scoffed about it. There were others said to them, what are you letting those Jesus-only folks in here for? But when we got there, they come from everywhere. We did our homework. We had fasting and prayer going. We had hundreds of preachers that come in California. Let me tell you, those churches banded together. We rented the Olympic Auditorium to have all of our activities in that auditorium. Now, they different Pentecostal organizations, most of them Trinitarian, were having their different activities. And then they were all going to come together in the big arena that seated 20-some thousand for a Saturday occasion. So we had ours. We had street services. We had street meetings right over where the old Azusa Street Mission was. And we've had prayer meetings going. But when I remember the first night when I got there, we'd planned, we'd prayed, and we asked God for it not just to be something to commemorate, but God, let it happen again. And I remember when we drove into the auditorium, we could not find a parking place except they had one reserved for us. But we were backed up for like two or three blocks with traffic going in. It was being directed in. The parking lot was filled. I looked at people lined up a block long waiting to get in our auditorium. That night, in the midst of that service, it was actually a drama like we put on the first night of General Conference, only it was about Azusa Street. We wasn't even able to finish the drama. The Holy Ghost began to fall, and they began to run. I mean, we filled the auditorium first, folks, and there were folks outside that could not get in because it was so full. It seated 6,000, and it was full. It was packed. That night, people got the Holy Ghost everywhere. The next day, during the services, people got the Holy Ghost everywhere. And that night again, in a 10-day period around that, with the churches right in that community, in a 10-day period, over 1,300 were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, what I'm telling you is this. All those others, and some of them have become friends. They're wonderful. They're very kind to me. But they were commemorating. I doubt they had 25 get the Holy Ghost in all their groups combined. And that last day when I told them, I've been somewhere this week, then in three nights, over 800 got the Holy Ghost. They almost fell off their chairs. But I want to tell you, my Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, give the world a Holy Ghost experience. I sat at the table with some of these very men last December, about this time last year. And they were so concerned about what's happening to them. And I sat at the table for lunch with two of the leaders of the two largest Pentecostal organizations in America. And we were talking, and I asked one of them, I said, because I had heard some things. I said, how many of your converts in your churches today receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? The largest one said, Brother Haney, about 12%. I turned to the next one. I said, would you tell me how many in your organization or amongst your churches? About what? He said, it's just about the same, 12%. And we just talked some more. Finally, they got around to it. I was praying they would. They said, Brother Haney, how many of your converts receive the Holy Ghost? I said, as near as I can tell, at least 98% of them receive the Holy Ghost. They both almost fell off their chairs. I'm telling you, we can give the world an apostolic ministry. It's a different ministry. It's not just in the head. It's a Holy Ghost revival. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. If you want a supernatural conception, you have to have the Holy Ghost. We cannot have church without the move of the Holy Ghost. You love Him tonight? What did I say? You want to create that atmosphere? Does anybody here need a miracle? Anybody here need a healing? Come on, start crying out to God. Hallelujah. Clapping your hands, just worshiping God. I want to tell you about the miracle power of God. There's nothing my God cannot do. He's on the throne. The Holy Ghost is just the same. It's here in this service, and it has not changed. Glory to God. I love to read Frank Urich's book on the phenomena of Pentecost. Frank Urich was my mother's pastor. He was a Baptist theologian, pastored a large Baptist church, and he received the Holy Ghost. Like 1906 or 7, right in there. He ended up at Azusa Street. He was also one of the founding fathers that first, to our knowledge, one of the first, along with Bishop G.T. Haywood, that received the revelation of the oneness of God. in his book on the phenomenon of Pentecost. I can just read it. If you find my copy, it's at home, and it's all marked up because for years I have read it over and over. Every time I want a great revival, I go back and read it again. That and the book of Acts, because nothing's changed. And I like, he related two accounts of the great Azusa Street revival. My grandmother, who was a missionary to Japan, her and her husband Frank Gray, for 40 years, she was a recipient of the Holy Ghost from Azusa Street. In fact, when she went as a single girl, 26 years of age, a Missionary Alliance missionary, to Japan. While she was there, someone sent her a tract. And that tract held in it experiences that were happening in America of blind being healed, cripples being healed. And then it about the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And when she got this in her mailbox or her post office box in Tokyo where she was living, she ran all the way back to her home where she was staying. And there were other missionary people there. And she ran in waving this tract. And she said, "This is what I've always believed. That God could do this." It was just a couple years later that she returned to America. Pennsylvania was her home. And she had poor health. She went to the physician, the doctor, family doctor. He said to her father and her, "I'm sending you. You must go. You got to go to California because of your health. And they have a great climate in Southern California. And I want you to go there." She told her mother when she got home, she said, "Papa," that was her father, "and the doctor, they think they're sending me out there to get well. But God is sending me out there where I can get that Holy Ghost." She got it. Frank Urich tells story after story. But the Los Angeles newspaper, the editor of the paper, sent a reporter who was a foreigner that worked for them. He said, "I want you to go out to the old mission. And I want you to write a story about those illiterate, emotional fanatics and make it look like a circus." Those are the words he used, a circus. So the foreigner went. He was inside. He was making notes fast. And then he begins to talk. In the midst of the service, suddenly a young woman stood and turned to him and began to speak in tongues fluently, looking at him. When it was over, of course, he began to shake. When it was over, or the service had somewhat subsided, he ran to her. He said, "How did you know my native tongue? You talk to me in my native language." She said, "I know no language but English. I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "You told me everything about, and that Jesus loved me, but I must repent of my sins." Oh, he went away with a story, all right. But it was altogether a different story. Listen, that's Pentecost. That's what I'm preaching to you about. We've got it, folks. We've got the best thing in the world. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. You cannot have church without the move of the Holy Ghost. Then he also related the story of the professor, the educator, who was an agnostic, had been reading about what was happening in that little mission at Azusa Street. And he said, "I'm going to go out and straighten them out. Got to watch out." But he got on the streetcar from Los Angeles. He journeyed on the streetcar as far as he could go till it ended. And he got off. And he had still about 5 or 6 blocks to go. He walked those blocks. He started off walking very arrogant, very determined that he had the mentality, the intellectual ability to straighten them out. But then he begins to talk. He said, "When I got to the last block and I started walking to the little mission," he said, "I could hear praises the closer I got. But he said, I wasn't quite so sure. And as I got closer, he said, where I could hear more of the sound, he said, my legs became very weak. And when I got to the door, they were like a dish rag. And when I opened the door, he said, I fell flat on my face in the presence of a holy God. Folks, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm talking about a God that has the power. He has not changed. Those are stories of the 1906 and 7 and 8 and 9. But I could relate to you stories that have been happening right along in churches in North America, in churches in foreign lands. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But many of us in North America are allowing ourselves to fall into a formality. We've got to shake it off, church. We've got to get back to the simplicity. Because the will of God, for the hot breath of God to breathe upon His church. Can these bones live? Said God to Ezekiel. As God showed him a heap of bones, a mighty army that had once marched majestically, that had fallen in the desert, the bones were now bleached with no flesh. And God shows the prophet Ezekiel the boneyard and said, can they live? He said, thou knowest. He said, Ezekiel, prophesy, preach to those bones. There's something about anointed preaching. He said, prophesy to the wind of the north and the south, the east and the west. There's something about the supernatural that brings to life the dead. Sometimes I think God needs to breathe on all of us. We need that fresh breath from heaven, the hot breath of God. Stand with me tonight if you will. Glory to God. Lift your hands and say glory to Jesus. Church, we're standing on holy ground tonight. Come on, wave it. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. That's it, young folks. Hallelujah. Give it to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're standing on holy ground tonight. You can feel, as the song said, the brush of angels' wings. Now look at folks. I'm with you just tonight. But I'm feeling direction. I want everybody to reach over. If you're a visitor, if you don't know anybody in this church, if you have never been saved, if you're a backslider, if you are of a world religion, you did not come here tonight by mere coincidence or accident. You will have been divinely directed to this place in the name of Jesus. Everybody reach over and take the hand of somebody by you. We're family. Everybody can join up. Everybody needs someone. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at, you may not have right now the strength, the spiritual fortitude for what you need, but somebody that has a hold of your hand, or somebody down the line may have that power burning on the inside of them. They can transmit it down the way. There can be miracles take place in the next few moments in this church. Everybody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. You're in this house tonight, Lord. You're in this place tonight, Lord. We need the hot breath of God to breathe upon us and revive our soul. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Holy Ghost, come upon us tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ha. I feel it here tonight. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Remain, keep the hand of that person you have by you. I'm going to ask you to do this. Regardless of your relationship with God right now. I want everybody in this house tonight to come forward and march. I don't want anybody to kneel. I want you to stand when you get here. And I want you to come boldly to God tonight. If you have a need and it's physical, and Jesus was standing right here, would you hesitate? No. You'd be like the little woman that pressed through. You'd be like the four men that broke the roof apart to get to Jesus. But all of us have needs because we're mortal. Come on, start walking. I like that, young man. All over this building tonight. Keep that hand of that person with you tonight. Hallelujah. And when you come, come praising Him. Hallelujah. Church, it's beautiful. Jesus is looking down. Ha ha. Ha ha. Make room for everybody. Come close tonight. That's it. Lift your voice when you get here. Let heaven hear it. Hallelujah. Let my Jesus hear you tonight. Come on, come on, come close. Hallelujah. Everybody's crying out to Him tonight. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the hot breath of God. We are Pentecost. Oh, Jesus, refill us, restore us, renew us, heal us, save us, deliver us, bless us. Come on, church. Yes, Jesus. We need you tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me have your attention just a moment. We've been praising God, but I want everybody now to find someone. It may be the person you're standing by, it may be the person in front of you or behind you, that you can pray with and help them break through to this miracle takes place. This is not just an ordinary little prayer meeting. There's a breakthrough coming tonight in this service. We're going to break through the service. You're blessed. Fear not. The Lord is with thee. How shall it be? The Holy Ghost shall overshadow. There's Holy Ghost in this place tonight. There's a lot. Most of you have the Holy Ghost. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, there's enough Holy Ghost in this meeting to meet your need. So you find someone. Everybody, don't. There's no place for anyone to be timid tonight. You find someone. Boldly go to them. Put your arm around them. Or pray with them. And let's lift up our voice and pray for one another. The miraculous, the miracle power, the healing power. Come on, that's it. Everybody's reaching out to help somebody. God, in your name, that's it. Come on, church, in the name of... Raise your voice. Let Him hear you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're believing for the supernatural, for the miraculous, for the healing power, for deliverance, Lord. Hallelujah.
My God is my...